Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast. This is show 66, and I'm pumped you're here today because today we have a power couple on the podcast, Tanisha and Mac Usher, and you are going to love them. They share their story about laundromat ownership, and they give a bunch of just insights and tips and knowledge into the industry. So you are going to love hearing from them, and they're super fun to just talk with too. We have a really, really good time, and it's just a good vibe in this episode. So you're going to love it. Look forward to that. Real quick, I just want to let you know, we still have a ton of stuff going on at Laundromat Resource right now. So make sure you're jumping in and being a part of all the different things that are going on. Just to name a few of those things, we always have the forums. They're always free. Laundromatresource.com/forums. You can check out the links to this and everything else that we talk about in this whole episode. If you're on YouTube, it's down below, or you can check out the show notes at laundromatresource.com/show66. All one word, show 66. So you can check out links for this and everything else there. But we got the forums. They're always there. They're always free. It's been an awesome place for people to go get some questions answered. Also a super awesome place for people to go and connect up with other people with like minds in similar areas. I've been noticing that happening a lot. Maybe we should start some meetups, some like nationwide meetups. Hit me up. Let me know if that's something you're interested in me trying to put together. Or, I mean, you guys can just do it yourselves too. And if you do, let me know. And I will, I'll put those on the website. So people in your area want to join a meetup. Man, I think that's a really good idea. I just came up with it right now. Well, I mean, I'm sure other people are doing that. No, I'm taking credit for it. Just thought of it right now. my unique idea. Anyways, we got the forums going on. We have a live webinar every single Thursday, 4 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock Eastern time, if that's your jive over there. Every single month, Dave, the Laundromat Millionaire, and I do a live Q&A. This month, it's going to be August 25th. If you're listening to this in the now when it's coming out, that's 2021. But also all of our live Q&As are posted on both my YouTube channel, Laundromat Resource, youtube.com/laundromatresource, and also on Dave's channel. So you can go find them there. Past ones that we've done, I think this is going to be number 9, maybe. Man, we could have had a baby in the amount of time that we've been doing these. Crazy. Anyways, so come, you know, check that out. We got lots of different stuff going on. We've got webinars going on with different people in this industry. If you want to learn, we just had one about Atmosphere TV, and you can check that one out. We just have got so much stuff going on right now. Make sure that you're being a part of it. LaundryCon is coming up October 23rd. So check that out. We have an events tab on the main laundromatresource.com that you can check out, see what events are coming out. Obviously, we have the YouTube channel, the blog. There's blog posts going up every single week right now. It's happening over here. So, and obviously, we have all the resources that are there for you. If you sign in with that free membership, you get access to a whole bunch of super useful resources, if I do say so myself. Anyways, make sure that you are in the know of what is going on over here. And I want this place to be a place where we can connect with each other. I can connect you with resources to help you succeed and people to help you succeed, and hopefully vice versa. So let's get on this thing together, and let's jump into it with Tanisha and Mac here right after this. All right, guys, today's episode is brought to you by Atmosphere TV. You may remember back in episode 34 when Atmosphere TV's Mike Kelly joined me on the podcast. It was an epic, epic episode. If you haven't listened to it, show 34, laundromatresource.com/show34. Go check it out. It's incredible. A ton of value there. One of the things we talked about is just the importance of creating a good, positive atmosphere in your laundromat. And I was just rereading the book by Simon Sinek, Start With Why. And one of the things that really stands out to me is that people don't make purchase decisions based on, you know, the logic of, you know, any
decision that they're making to spend their money. It's more based on a feeling and an association. And so it's really important to create a positive feeling, a positive atmosphere, no pun intended, in your laundromat to help people associate this chore that most people don't like doing with something positive. Atmosphere TV is an incredible way to help improve the atmosphere of your laundromat. And basically, if you haven't heard of it, what it is it has 50 plus channels created specifically for businesses with everything from sports clips, hilarious fail videos, jaw-dropping videos from all over the world. There's automobile channels. There's a ton of stuff. My kids love, love, love it. And my customers love it. Atmosphere TV could be a great way to either supplement your cable, or a lot of us laundromat owners are cutting our cable bill completely and running Atmosphere TV. They're designed to be used with no audio, but they also do have an audio option. That way you can kind of design the atmosphere of your laundromat the way that you want it. So get rid of cable, get rid of those news channels that are bringing negativity into your laundromat, and fill your laundromat with positive videos that bring positive vibes to your customers with Atmosphere TV. And if you use the code word, the keyword, the promo code, I don't know, resource, promo code resource, then they're going to waive your setup fee. And now everything is going to be free. There's no monthly fee for it. You can use it for free in your laundromat, and it's going to give a vibe to your atmosphere. So check out atmosphere.tv. I'll put a link down in the description on YouTube or in the show notes. Check it out there. Make sure you use the keyword resource. That way you can get that thing for free. And, or if you'd like, email Mike at mike.kelly@atmosphere.tv.
Mac and Tanisha, how are you guys doing? Thank you for coming on the show today. Super excited. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Excellent. How are you? Excellent. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Just enjoying the sunshine over here on the West Coast. And I know you guys are on the East Coast over there. How's the weather over there?
Rainy. Cloudy.
It's so funny. Here in California, it pretty much never rains in the summer, but I know that's not true in a lot of other places. So it's pretty funny when I hear about rain in the summer, because it just, I mean, it doesn't rain here that often anyways, but especially not in the summer.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's start with, who are you guys? Can you give us a little bit of a background on who you guys are? And then we'll kind of get into, how did you get into this industry?
Okay. Well, Mac and I are high school sweethearts. We've been married for about 20 years.
Hey, congrats.
Married in 2001, have two kids. Mac attended Ole Miss in the 2000s, and I went to Delta State University in the 2000s. And so we kind of moved around, originally from Mississippi. Now we're here in Noonan, Georgia. And that's pretty much it. You want to ask something to that, Mac?
Yeah, we just keep working our way closer to the east. To the eastern shoreline, as you mentioned. As you mentioned, we moved to Alabama, moved to Birmingham, Alabama. We were there for about 9 or 10 years.
Okay. Right out of,
and started our careers there, working in corporate America, different sales. I've been in sales all of my career, and moved to Atlanta, metro area, Atlanta, Georgia, and 2010, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. in the fall of 2010. And we've been here ever since. So I personally still work in sales. I've done medical device sales in the past. I've done uniform sales, but currently I work in the software sales industry. So Noonan, Georgia is a town about, I'd say about 40 miles southwest of Atlanta. So this is what we call home.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like somebody needs to say this, but you're working your way to the wrong coast. You become west.
That's funny you say that, because we talk about it all the time. It says, as a kid, I always thought I would live in California. I have some great uncles and great aunts that live in Fresno, and some of them lived in Oakland. So I always thought that that's where I was going to end up. And I haven't made that yet, but I think I can pull a nice boomerang and circle back to the West Coast.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Well, I will welcome you with open arms when you're ready to meet that move.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, so you started out in corporate America and you're still in software sales. So what does your path look like? How did you get into this crazy industry? I'm always interested to hear how people wound up here because not too many people aspire to be here as like little kids. So how did you get here? Maybe you aspired. I don't know.
You know, I've run other businesses over the years. I've done transportation businesses. I've done product and goods sales businesses that I've done along with some partners. And it's been really good. One of the things I was always very conscious of is I didn't want to do a business that was very retail heavy. If that makes sense. My wife's family own restaurants, so she's familiar with that also. And you know, having a family, our kids are 15 and 9. We just didn't want to pull all of that time away from us from ourselves while still, you know, operating as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And,
I have a really good friend of mine that got into the business. He started with one. I think he has 10 or 11 now, laundromat locations now.
Ooh, and, nice.
Yeah. He's tried to convince us to do it for the past 4 or 5 years, which I was open to. But of course, as you know, in the laundry industry, if you're not building a store from scratch, it's pretty labor intensive to go in and buy an existing operation. But I like the simplicity. We like the simplicity of the business, mm-hmm. right? There's no accounts receivable. There are very few accounts payable, you know, outside of some internet and rent. There's not a whole lot that you have to pay out in utilities. So we also like the fact that it was self-serve. And it's just a very, very simple business. I'm not saying it's super easy, but it's a simple business. So
yeah,
that's what attracted us to it.
Yeah. So, okay. So you got a buddy who basically conned you into getting into the business.
Yeah. I let him know that was your analysis of it.
You let him know I said that. Okay. When was that? When did you decide to take the leap?
So we looked for a year, I think, and we just closed on the one we have
in January 29th.
January
29th
of this year, 2021. Awesome. So we're about 6 months in.
6 months in. I want to go back and talk about that experience, but of actually finding or buying or building it or whatever you did, but how has it been so far, generally speaking, for the first 6 months?
It's been a lot of work, but it's been fun, you know, just going in to clean up, the putting systems in place. Matt does a great job with just implementation and putting things in place to make my life easier. So I think the biggest thing was just the cleanup and the and getting organized, you know, just of what you do day to day and the systems, you know. Once you got a system in place, it's much easier.
Yeah, it's just about kind of maintaining those systems at that point. Well, I mean, was there between you guys when the idea came up, hey, let's buy a laundromat, were you both like, yes, we're both on board? Were one of you skeptical?
I was skeptical. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. This is what happened to me, right? My wife was like, let's buy a laundromat. And I was like, I mean, I wanted to buy a house in Hawaii. That was my idea.
Right.
We wanted to buy a laundromat. So I was like, okay, well, we'll buy a laundromat. And somehow I ended up doing all the work. And it sounds like maybe it was similar situation here, but reverse roles.
Yeah. You're right. Because she runs all the day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she runs all the day-to-day.
She's my consultant.
How did they pull that off? That's what I want to know. Why are we the suckers? Okay, well, let's go back. Okay, so Mac is like, I have a great idea. Let's buy a laundromat. And you're skeptical, but first of all, how did you get to a point where you're like, okay, I can get behind this?
I think the first day we visited the place, it was dirty. It was nasty. It wasn't a good neighborhood. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this by myself? You know? And then I think the third or fourth day after we bought it and we went in and just going through the whole process and talking to the community, I'm like, I like this. I like this a lot. Just being able to touch and feel people and hear their story. You know, some people have been coming there for 30 years to this laundromat and they give you like, hey, my mom used to bring me here when I was like 2 years old. Yeah. And just that connection, I think, is what kind of won me over.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. That's probably my favorite part of the business also. You know, I've been invited to some weddings, some funerals. You know, I've met lots of people. I've been kind of sad, but also kind of in honor, but I've been watching this guy who's been coming to my laundromat forever, since before I got it, but he's kind of been slowly going a little crazy. And it's been sad, but it's been very cool to be able to just be there, listen to him, be a support. He looks for me now, you know, when he's in the area, just to come chat with him. And I think a lot of people, especially even in his family, are like, you know, you're crazy. And, you know, I just get to listen to him, you know, and so, and, you know, and all the good stuff too, you know, celebrating with people and all that. So I really like that too. You're missing out, Mac. How about that? Okay. So you went and checked it out and it was dirty and it was in a bad neighborhood, but how did you get from that? Why didn't you put your foot down and be like, there's no way that I'm going to be hanging out in this neighborhood trying to clean up this place? Why were you like, okay?
I think, like I said, once he kind of broke it down and broke our duties down. Okay, I'm going to be doing this. You're going to be doing this. And then after, you know, several weeks, I think it kind of grew on me. And when I saw the potential it had, like, you know, we can clean it up. We can get a different clientele coming in and really fix this place up. It's a lot of opportunity here. So once we started to get the painting done, the cameras put in, and it drew, you know, people who have not been in there for years and years, and now they're coming back. So
yeah.
She had on very dark shades, Jordan, very dark shades. It was hard for her to see the potential and the vision that could be.
Yeah. It was scary. Yeah. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a big concern for a lot of people, right? Cause a lot of the quote unquote affordable laundromats are in rougher areas and or in rough shape. And yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big obstacle, right? And it takes a certain kind of person to be able to go in there and say, okay, I'm going to tackle these issues, both cleaning this place up, you know, actually, sanitarily, but also cleaning it up in terms of the people who are hanging out around there. And that part's probably harder.
Oh yeah,
sanitizing the place.
It is.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was. It for me. It. I wasn't afraid. It didn't. I wasn't afraid.
Yeah, look at you. Like, come on, man. You're like ripped up. Of course, you weren't afraid.
Well, you know, and I say that
you got Muhammad Ali behind you right now. Literally,
that's right.
Over.
Take it around. Just grab it. Take it with you.
That's right. Of course, you weren't afraid. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're good. But it was a deal where I looked at it, and growing up, I was a local barber in my community, right? So I dealt with so many different types of people all the time from ninth grade throughout all of college. And literally right across the street from our house was a laundromat. And I think back onto that. I think back to it now. This lady was brilliant. What she did was she put a snow cup stand next to a laundromat, and she was there all day on Saturdays, Fridays and Saturdays, selling snow cones. Mm-hmm. And she had so much traffic coming from my house to get haircuts, going to her snow cone stand, and then going in there and washing clothes. There was just kind of a hot corner right there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I said to myself, man, these are just neighborhood people. They may look rough, but they genuinely don't have any evil intent. You know, to your point of you talking about the gentleman that you've been able to have conversations with on a regular basis, a lot of those type scenarios where you just get to know them, they're trying to figure out ways to help you more than they are trying to harm you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I found too that it's, you will run into bad characters, but generally speaking, it's a small, small minority. And it's the people who are causing problems at your laundromat are causing problems in the rest of the neighborhood too.
Right.
So everybody's kind of in the same boat in that sense. And so if you can come in and, I don't know, Mac, flex around a little bit and get some of those guys somewhere else, it does good for your laundromat, obviously, but it does good for the rest of the community too, that, you know, maybe they're causing trouble around the neighborhood too. So good point. Good point. All right. I'll give you that. So Tanisha, you got roped in by, you know, the connections with the people and break it down for me, because let me tell you my experience, right? My wife and I were, you know, I'll do these things, you'll do these things. And slowly over time, my wife was doing less and less, and I was doing more and more. Oh. So I'm curious, like, what are these roles you guys are playing here? And are they sticking, or are they getting transferred back and forth?
I think they're pretty much sticking. So I do the day-to-day operation with cleaning, just making sure my people clean that's supposed to be there 7 days a week. With the change, making sure the change is filled, paying vendors, everything right now, because Matt, you know, has a full-time job. So he's like a consultant to me. Hey, Mac, I can't figure this out. You know, what do I do? And so he's the problem solver in that sense. So, but right now it's just me, and he kind of goes whenever we have major issues with the machines. Our machines are very old, so I can't fix them yet. I can do the basic things, but I can't do, you know, the advanced stuff. So, so that's how we've done it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And also, Jordan, it started off where in the beginning I had to go and do a lot so I could understand what was going on. I mean, I've never laundromat. So I had to go in there quite a bit, see what was happening, and just kind of be in the place so I can get a feel for what it needs, what it's missing. She said earlier about setting up systems, me just trying to figure out how do we automate this? Cause you're thinking about, okay, how does this place run when we're out of town? How do we make sure this place is open in the morning at the right time? How do we make sure it locks at the right time at night? So those were my duties in the beginning, but as time went on, you know, you got maybe 2 to 3 months into it, I was able to start backing up a little bit more, and I was able to show her the process that was kind of built out, and she was able to take it around with it.
Can you answer a couple of those questions? Like, how do you go out of town, or how do you make sure it unlocks and locks in the middle, you know, when they're supposed to?
Yeah, sure thing. So we relied very heavily on some of the, I'm not a Facebook guy. I don't have a Facebook account, but I knew there were probably quite a few people that were on Facebook, that own laundromats. So of course we found a couple of, groups and just started reading. I think this was even before we bought the laundromat, started reading through just what everyone's experiences are. So first thing we noticed, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, ahead of you. I'm sorry. But one of the first things we noticed when we purchased it was we inherited a person that opened, cleaned up, and closed the place, right?
Yeah.
They had a day job, and that's what they would do. So the first time we went by, we met him, and he said, hey, I'm burned out. I'm tired. I don't think I want to continue. I've been doing this about 30 years. So, okay. Understood. That's fine.
That's a tough blow though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he said, I'll hang around for another 2 or 3 weeks and until you find someone, and I'll help you find someone. So, okay, great. So we put up a sign, help wanted sign. And a few days later when we came back, that the sign was torn down and taped in the back room. And, you know, we kind of puzzled, like,
what is this?
Well, yeah, why? How did someone tear it down and he just took it and hung it up in the back or what? But I think what happened is he saw that we were putting some energy into the place.
Uh-huh.
He's been there forever, of course, and people started coming by asking, hey, man, what's going on? You quitting? What's going on? You know, are they getting rid of you? And I think it's, you know, his ego and his feelings got a little hurt. So he changed his mind. He said, I think I'm going to stick around for a while.
All right.
So at that point, we said, all right, we don't know what time he's consistently opening this place and we don't know what time he's consistently closing it. So back to the Facebook groups. I saw what you could do to automatic door locks, where they're on a timer, I should say. So we install timers for the auto door locks. That was number one. I'm sorry, timed door locks. We had those installed. Number two was, which I think was brilliant. I don't know who created it. I'm sure it's been around forever, but whoever came up with the idea to put a camera inside the coin machine box was brilliant.
Yeah.
We implemented that. And then the third thing was just a security system to be able to view the cameras from our phones. And the final piece, okay, number four was we went out and found somebody that could clean for us every night. And we figured out about how long it takes to clean. So we were able to share with them what we wanted. So those things right there allowed us the ability to have some breathing room. If we wanted to take a 2-3 day, you know, short trip, we could. And that's nothing too crazy that was going to go on that was going to hurt us.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are great, great systems. I love the camera and the coin changer. Yeah. 'Cause that's a big one, right? Like if you got a quarter store and you run out of change, and people show up to your store not having change, and there's not another easy way to get it, they might go to the next one, right? It's not a guarantee that they're coming back to yours later when you do have change. And I found that they don't always let you know that it's out of change, you know, if you know, you can come fill it up. But if you don't know, then you don't know. Okay. So you took over, you implemented some of these systems. Awesome. Awesome job. And by the way, if you're listening, I will put links to a couple of the good laundromat owner groups where you can go join them. So if you're, they'll either be on the show notes or if you're on YouTube, they'll be down below. So you can check those out. Okay. So Tanisha, what was it like for you? Take me back to like day one. You got the keys and you are in charge of this place now. It's yours. What did that feel like? And what were your first kind of thoughts running through your mind?
Oh, wow. So the day that we closed, got the keys and we went back to the place. We went back the next day. Just to check the change machine, check the, you know, machines to see what was good, what was bad. And just talking to the community just to see, hey, what do you guys think we should do? And many people gave us feedback. Hey, put TVs in, put music in. If it's somewhere we can charge our phones while we're here. You know, do you guys need to get fans or AC? You know, just that feedback of, hey, I come here every week on Wednesday. Can I at least have change in the change machine? You know, the change always out. So we just kind of took those surveys from the customers and implemented a lot of what they requested. But the first day was kind of scary because I'm just looking at how dirty this place was. But once we cleaned it and cleaned the machines, cleaned the floors, outside, inside, more people started to come back because of COVID. They didn't feel comfortable washing their clothes because of, you know, everything that was going on there. So I assured them, hey, we're keeping it clean, keeping it sanitized. And they were just so excited. Like, thank you. But, you know, keeping this, you know, cleaning this place up because I have never seen this place clean in probably 20 years.
Right.
So
that's our day one.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what my day one was. My day one
kicking up your feet and doing
that. I did the hard stuff. Day one, or day two, I should say. We closed on the property. We closed on the laundromat. Uh-huh. Ironically, the gentleman that sold it to us grew up 10 minutes from where we grew up. Knew a lot of the same people, two states away. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But long story short, he gives me the keys and say, hey, you guys are laundromat owners now. Here you go. This key works to everything in that. These keys work. So we go there the next day. It's a homeless shelter. That's what it is. It's an unaccompanied homeless shelter.
Yeah.
A lot of people from the streets. The gentleman that was running, that was opening and closing the place, was heavy alcoholic. He was also, from what I understand,
from the community,
you know, heavy drug guy. So he kind of ran that place like it was his own nightclub, social club, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you go in there and the smell inside this place was just like, man, is there a dead body in here or what? You know?
Yeah.
Was there?
Yes.
I mean, it would not surprise me. Sadly.
Oh my God. The amount of negligence, just from a cleaning standpoint was amazing. The lights were all dim and the amount of debris and we go to the back room behind the dryers and where the change machine is. And I see, bags, I see belts, I see
heaters,
clothes, I see heaters. I'm thinking, man, what is this? So ultimately what we learned much later was the gentleman that opened and closed the place had lived in the back for quite some time. And Jordan, when I say lived back there, there was probably about a 4-foot space back there that you could comfortably be in. And that's about it. I don't know how he lived. The roof was bad on the building at the time. So every time it rained, everything poured in the back. They were very, very rough living conditions. Yeah. And then of course, the more the community people saw us in there, the more stories we got. Some of them rated R, XR. So it was pretty rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, unfortunately, that's a pretty common story. I mean, I think once an owner kind of gives up on a place and is not actively managing it and managing who's in there and when they're in there and what they're doing while they're in there, it becomes like a magnet, right? For, homeless people or whatever kind of activity. I mean, that was my experience with my first one. I did not have a tenant, fortunately, like you guys did, in my laundromat when I bought it. But yeah, I mean, I've got the stories too. We need to do like an episode where just people share their crazy story. We should do that. I'll figure that one out because that would be a lot of fun, or maybe that would just be too scary. I don't know. Yeah. So that was your kind of initial experience, huh? So did you go about trying to clear out those people, or how did you go about that? What was that like?
I had to call the police several times just because I was seeing my cameras where my old women would come on, certain days to do laundry and someone be in there sleep on the table or laying in the floor. I'm like, okay, you have to leave. And I thought we would be able to get an intercom system where we can talk, and just be able to
get out of here.
Yeah, leave.
Wake up. Yeah.
But
ooh, you're scary too. I'm not buying the oh, I was scared and timid anymore. I heard that in there. It's in there. Yeah, Mac is pointing. Wow. It's in there. All right, go ahead.
Oh man. So one lady showed up and she would come on Tuesdays and some of my elderly women would be there and they would be afraid to walk out. And And so I told her, I said, hey, you cannot come here with this type of language. You have to leave. And so I had to call the police because she just tried to argue with me over and over. So I called the police and got a restraining order for her just to not be able to come on the premises. So I never seen her anymore, but that worked just to kind of give my elderly people some, you know, relief of, you know, safety. So this about 3 to 6 months, well, 3 months, I think that took that long to clean up all the people that would come in and laying down and sleeping on the front porch and, you know, all that you're not supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's a, well, you say 3 to 6 months, but you're only like 6 months in. So feels like a long time. I mean, when you're dealing with that stuff, it's tough.
It is.
I mean, my experience was, you know, I tried to treat people respectfully and say, hey, like you can't come do that anymore. This, you know, or it's not being run like that. You can't come hang out unless you're doing laundry. If you're doing laundry, no problem. I get it. But if you're not doing laundry, you can't come hang out. And I just found that that never really worked. So, So people are just kind of, I'm sure they made fun of me, but I would have probably made fun of me behind my back too, but I'd be like, hey, like no big deal, but like, you just can't hang out here. Right. Like, so what I kind of defaulted to was I would still take that same approach. Like, hey, you can't, you know, you can't stay here, and give them respect one time. And then after that, it's disrespect to me. And so that's when I would get, okay, like you need to leave now, or, you know, or I'm going to make you leave, basically, you know, whether that's calling the cops or pulling them by their earlobe or whatever.
Look at you flexing.
Exactly. I don't know, man. Mac, you need to come with me and hang out, and we'll set up over here. But I mean, and I found that you just have to stay on top of it. And when you start calling the police and people start getting the message, right? Word gets around, like, this is not a place we can hang out anymore. But fair warning for you guys is if you start to let up on it, they will start trickling back. So you just got to kind of stay on top of it. And if they like, it's kind of like the raptors in Jurassic Park. Like, they test the fences. Like, are they still on top of this, or are they not? You got to stay on top of it, but that's tough.
It is.
A lot of it went away. I'd say probably 85% of it went away as soon as the cameras got installed. As soon as the cameras got installed, poof. Because what they would do was, there was a, we have a gas station next door, and there's a liquor store literally right across the street. So they'll just, they would go get whatever they want to drink and come stand in front of the laundromat, in front of the door, and drink. Or go in, from what, before we bought it, they would come inside and smoke marijuana or whatever inside, because they're trying to hide from the police. So that was kind of their spot that they did everything. But as soon as the cameras went up, they knew that, okay, there's some accountability here. Most of them disappeared. We still have a sensitivity towards some of the people that are homeless, because some of them have mental conditions and we're sensitive to that. There are some times when there's some one-on-one conversations where someone's in there and their body odor is so bad.
You
know, to them one-on-one and ask them to leave. And we haven't had that flame up on us very often, but there are some times where it's like, hey, you know, step out, you know, go take a shower. Do you need some, you know, what do you need? So what do you need? You know? And they've been responsive to it, you know, out of respect for everyone else. So, it's been good. Like Tanisha said, once she started to dive in the community saw that we were there to make some changes, it started to improve.
Okay, so you guys jumped in. You're starting to clean up the place, actually, and also kind of clean up who's, you know, who's hanging out around there. I mean, what's it been like for, you know, the last 3 months or so as you've started to kind of clean it up? Have you found a lot more? Well, real quick, I wanted to ask you this and I forgot, but you said you were asking people like what, you know, what they wanted done in the in the store, and you said you implemented a lot of those things. What were you asking them, just to have a conversation with them? Did you have like a survey you had them fill out? What was that? How'd you get that information from them?
Just, you know, in the beginning, I went 3 to 4 times a week.
Uh-huh.
Just when we were cleaning up. And so I would just, yeah, conversations from, you know, the customers, like, hey, what do you think we should add? Or what do you think we should do? So a lot of them, you know, can you get a TV in here? You know, we would like to watch TV. And I'm like, no, we can't do a TV. I can do some music or speakers and fans. Of course, we can do the fans. So just mainly communication.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering, because I think a lot of people get stuck and they're like, I don't know what to do. And they forget they could just kind of ask customers, like, hey, what are you...
Right.
What's missing here? What would make this a better experience for you? You know, and it doesn't have to be like a survey or something like that. It can just be having a conversation.
Right. Right.
So good for you for doing that. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, tell me about the last few months. Well, okay. I keep going back, but when you bought the place, was it profitable or was it a project where you were like, okay, we're going to need to make it, we're going to need to improve it to make it profitable?
So when we purchased the place, which is, that's a great question, because
thank you.
We
appreciate that.
Purpose wanted to buy an existing laundromat because we didn't want to have to, you know, create all the revenue from scratch, create the presence from scratch. So when we looked at the financials, of course I think we looked at maybe 30 laundromats before we bought one. But when we looked at the laundromat, I mean, the financials, we were like, man, are these numbers accurate? So my friend showed me how to do a reverse audit, forensic audit on, you know, on the utilities and all of that. And we saw, okay, I think these numbers are pretty good. So if these numbers are real, that's nothing but upside potential. To Tanisha's point earlier, he had lost a lot of foot traffic just due to COVID, and place was closed for, I think, a couple of months throughout that time period also. So we were like, all right, this place, worst case scenario, breaks even right now. Worst case scenario. So if we go in and do the basics, we can increase the revenue and the profit. The months on it. Mm-hmm.
So when you got in there, did you find the numbers were pretty accurate?
Yeah, they were. That's they good. Were. I did the math myself and I was like, there's no way this is right because I don't know what I'm doing. I think on an annual basis, I was maybe $2,000 or $3,000 off what he showed me or the financials that he gave me. I was like, okay. I think we may be in the right ballpark.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So then in the last 6 months or so, have you been able to improve the business like you were expecting?
Yeah. I'd say revenue has increased by, about 40%.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And the store runs anywhere from a 20-25% profit margin, as is. So, it's worked out well. And I mean, we're excited about it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah. And that's, I mean, you're still running with older machines, right? And
yes,
kind of that existing infrastructure. So that's, I mean, I think that's awesome. And I think it shows, like, you know, machines are important, but kind of more important is let the community know that you care and you're going to take care of them and take care of the business, right? Like, people respond to that, to that caring.
Yeah. Those, to that point, the machines are probably, I'd say they're 20 plus years old. And they haven't, that's not a lot of preventive maintenance that's been done to them.
Right.
That's been kind of, when one breaks, you just get it back up and going, and that's kind of it. But I will say this, we're at the point now where the volume of people,
traffic is increasing.
The traffic is increasing. Yes. And now these machines are being pressure tested a little more. Like, I don't want to do this. So, so we are entertaining, you know, what that's going to look like going forward with new equipment.
Yeah.
Are you guys fixing them or do you have somebody coming in to fix them? What are you doing with that?
Both, as a mixture of each. the stuff that we can do ourselves. You know, for example, if a coin slot machine, on a machine goes bad, my skills are good enough to replace it. But when it comes down to some of the more
electrical,
the electrical or
drums.
Or, yeah, you got
some drums or
we haven't had a ton of that. We had one drum go bad, but you know, some of the control panels, they just require a little more time than I have to.
Yeah.
So we do have a really good technician that specializes in that, and we develop a good relationship with that, that's able to come in. You know, right now he's coming maybe once every 6 or 7 weeks to do stuff for us. He keeps trying to convince us to learn how to do it ourselves. We just don't have the time, man, to come in and do it, because we're the owner. So when we walk in there, I'm in the laundromat, you know, to work on something. Jordan walks in. Jordan wants to talk to me because he, you know, we have a history of conversating. So it's, I don't know what I'm doing well enough to fix on that machine and talk to Jordan at the same time.
Yeah, you got to focus.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. You can tell me not to talk to you. That's fine. Okay. So you guys have been going for about 6 months and stuff's going pretty well. You're up, you know, revenue about 40% and starting to look at maybe, I mean, one of the huge perks of getting some new equipment in there is that maintenance goes way down. And maybe even more importantly, your customers don't have to worry about if a machine's going to work or not. Cause it is kind of a pain if they don't work, or, you know what I mean? Or they have to change it over to another machine or, so, but it sounds like, I mean, you guys are getting to a point where you got business rolling in and you can probably bring in some new equipment here pretty soon. And, you know, that'll probably help you out a lot on energy savings. You could probably increase your pricing a little bit and all that. So probably some new customers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring it up, because we recently increased the pricing with the old equipment. We just bit the bullet and increased the price into what everybody else charged at the new equipment places. But you know, we did that because a lot of the people that came said, I prefer to come to this laundromat. It's convenient. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about, it being new equipment. I just like the fact that it works and it's close to me and, you know, it's easy. I like coming here. So we're providing some value. So I value is worth what everyone else is charging. So, when we do, want to do what you said, you know, to improve on the utilities and, you know, have a peace of mind with the equipment. And then I just don't want, we don't want it to be where the customer said, man, I go by this Bubbles laundromat. Every time I go in there, everything's broken, you know, I don't want it to get to that point, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Did you guys do, when you guys kind of took over and cleaned the place up a little, did you guys do any promotions or anything, or was it all word of mouth that was getting new people in there?
Word of mouth.
All word of mouth.
Yeah.
Nice.
We were waiting to kind of get the place up to speed. Oh, this is funny. So we were waiting to get the place up to speed before we did some more promotional and drive the traffic in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, the technician that we're talking about came in and serviced all the equipment. Man, he went in and told us the dryers, right? The dryers, one stack of dryers had this much lint that he pulled out.
Oh, yeah.
That much lint from one stack of dryers. I was like, oh, my God. So
decades of lint.
Yes. Yes. So the dryers now are like unbelievable.
So hot.
They get so hot.
Don't make any money anymore because they've been serving.
So when that happened, we were like, all right, the equipment is serviced. We're good. We're, you know, let's put a marketing, let's put some of this marketing stuff into place and draw some more traffic. But man, once he fixed everything, things started to tear up because, you know, this equipment is just used to operating on a thread.
Right.
Having WD-40 and all this stuff on it and, you know, the correct screws. So now it's breaking a little bit more.
That's funny. It's like it needed that layer of dirt and grime on to keep it all together and working.
Yes.
Yeah. That's funny. All right. Well, we got a section of the podcast called Down to Business. And that's just where we can learn just a little more details about your business. I mean, we've already been talking about it a lot, but so remind me the name of the town you guys are in, or the city you guys are in.
The business is in LaGrange, Georgia.
LaGrange.
And we are in Noonan, Georgia.
Okay. How big is LaGrange? Do you know?
Maybe about 20,000 people.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not small. This is a pretty big.
Yeah.
Pretty big place. Okay. And you own just one for now. You got plans for more? Okay. What's your you got any aspirations?
Definitely.
More.
Yeah.
At least five.
Yeah, probably about seven will do what we wanted to do from a revenue and profitability standpoint. I think the X factor on that is going to be being able to buy them where we want to buy them. Where they're close enough to us.
Yeah, you don't want to be cruising all over Georgia.
Yeah. This Atlanta is just as tough as LA to get around in. You don't want to be driving across the city too much.
Yeah. Well, you know what you need to do is get like five or seven of them, hire yourself a manager, and then move on out here and let the manager take it.
That would be it. That would be the plug, man.
You don't want to deal with that humidity anymore, do you? Come on.
No. I remember the first time I visited California, man. It was in like July, and I kept waiting. We were out one evening sitting around the pool, and I was like, wait a minute. I haven't seen a fly or a mosquito all day long. What's the deal?
Yeah, we don't have bugs out here.
I see.
Wow.
I've been to Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama, and I'm like, holy cow, these are like man-eating insects over here.
Yeah.
Scary. All right. So you guys have been in the business for about 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an idea of like how much does it cost to do laundry in LaGrange?
Okay.
So our 20 pounders are $275.
Okay.
30 pounders, $375.
Okay.
60 pounders, $675. Top loaders, $2. And dryers are 25 cents for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Awesome. That sounds pretty good. And that's pretty standard now as to the other laundromats in the area.
Yeah. The top loaders, we had like 9 top loaders in there. They're all old. I hate them. She hates them.
Yeah.
She hates the top loaders.
Yeah. What do you hate them? You're not around. Come on. You'll get an opinion.
It takes 40 minutes for them to fill up with water. You know, it's like... Yeah. Use these 20 pounders over here to take you 20 minutes to wash.
I know.
I'm so used to the top loaders going there and, oh, this is what I used to have at home.
Yeah.
So they stay there and just wait until they finish filling up with water and then washing. So,
yeah. I think a lot of owners will replace them when they can with something not top loader. And if they can't yet, then I think they just keep upping the prices. And it's like, we don't want you to use them, but if you want to use them, you're going to pay for it, basically.
Okay. So, you know what? We looked at that, but ours have the old coin slots.
Right. Oh, yeah. So you can't.
Yeah. Because we were trying to deter them from using them, but it didn't work. So, a funny story. Last week, I think we had someone call. I say, hey, you know, my clothes never would get dry. So we go back and look at the camera. They use the top loader, which it doesn't spin out very well. So the clothes are really wet.
Right.
And then they spend a ton of money trying to dry. They could have just spent an extra 75 cents on the wash and spent, you know, 50 cents on the dry and been done, you know.
But
they were trying to save some money. It cost them way more than it should have.
Yeah, I know. Well, and then they stuff those things jam packed and stuff doesn't get washed as much. And they also like to stop it mid cycle and push it around. It makes a mess everywhere. And let it soak, which takes even more time that they're in there. There's so many headaches. Okay. Do you guys have any sense of like turns per day that you guys are doing in your store?
No, we haven't gotten to that point yet. We're not that sophisticated yet.
This feels like this should be in the Mac realm of responsibilities to start to figure that out.
Yes, he is the analyst.
I mean, a good consultant would be on top of that. I'm just saying.
We haven't gotten to Jordan level yet.
Yeah. don't make me the standard. There's plenty of other people to be the better standard. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be interesting for you guys to figure out about how many times a day each machine is being used on average, because you know, when you're doing, you're kind of doing multiple things at once right now, right? You've raised your prices, you've cleaned up, you know, your laundromat, and you know, you want to know your revenue's increased 40%. And it'd be interesting to find out how much of that is from a new customer base and how much of that is from raising prices, and you know, just to kind of have that information so that it helps you make those decisions going forward. So, I don't know. If you want, I could shoot you a spreadsheet that'll do all that stuff for you. Super easy.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yes.
You don't have to be sophisticated. It's great. Yeah. So are you guys, talk to me about how you're running. Are you running it with no attendant? Is it unattended, partially attended?
Unattended. Just have a cleaning person. And I just go probably 2 days a week just to drop in during the day.
Okay.
Sure, you know, everything's okay. Talk to the customers. But yeah.
Yeah. The cleaning person comes in about an hour and a half before closing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And closes. But yeah, it's possibly could benefit from having a little bit more of a presence on Saturday and Sunday. Uh-huh. Actually, probably Sunday and Monday. I'm sorry, Sunday and Monday. Yeah. But outside of that, it's just one of those stores that doesn't demand having attended on staff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And you guys are doing all coin?
All coins.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome. And we're afraid
to change it.
What's that?
We're afraid to change it. They may not be able to, they may get mad. I don't know. I'm joking.
Yeah.
I would like to see. I've entertained. You know, we bounce back and forth the idea of what it's like if you do loyalty card versus debit card versus coins. And I know if you know the debit card. Initially, I loved the debit card idea. I was like, oh man, but I didn't know the backside of you know the collection side and people challenging. You know that it took their money and.
Yeah, chargebacks
and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, I don't know how we'll approach it going forward.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting question for a lot of laundromat owners right now because I mean, I do think that more and more people are using cards for stuff just in general, and even apps a little bit. I don't know that the apps have fully taken off app payments, but I do know, you know, some people use it, but more people I think use cards, loyalty cards or, you know, credit cards, debit cards. So that's kind of interesting. Well, I know you were there, Mac, a lot early on. You have a sense of like how many hours you were there a week early on when you first got it?
Well, early on, probably about 8 to 9, we first got started. The 3 or 4 days I was going.
Probably more than that was you, and then I would go. Total, we were probably 12 to 15 hours a week in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about now? What's that looking like?
Right now I go about 6 hours per week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going twice a week, three times a week?
Right now,
once a week.
On average, 2 to 3 times a week between the two of us.
Yeah.
2 to 3 times.
Just 6 hours a week. Yeah.
Total.
Okay. All right. And then Matt goes to like take a nap over there or something.
Yeah. I just sit in a truck. And set my timer. Say, all right, I'm good. I can leave now.
Get some quiet time away from the kids. I know what's happening right now.
Yeah.
I know what's happening. Cool. Well, yeah. Do you have any idea of like square footage of your store? Like how big it is?
It's about
1,200
square feet. 1,200
square feet.
Yeah.
Small. Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing about your business and all that. We have another section of the podcast called Secret Sauce.
Listen up, it's the Secret Sauce.
Ooh.
Yeah. Secret Sauce is just tip for current owners that, you know, maybe something that's working well for you that they could implement into their business, or any kind of bit of wisdom or insight that you've learned owning your laundromat up to this point.
Yeah. For me, my favorite thing is talking to the customers and remembering their stories. Like, hey, I just had eye surgery 2 weeks ago, and I always follow up like, hey, you know, how was that surgery? You know, how's the progression with the surgery? Yeah. You know, did it work, or
do I look better or worse?
Yeah. Remembering their story of what they talked to me about. So, and just remembering names. They can't believe, oh, you remember my name? Like, yeah, I wrote it down. I remember. So that really has worked for me. And they keep coming back, you know, hey, Roy, how you doing? Hey, you remember my name? Yeah. Yeah. So things like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes a huge difference, right? Like when somebody remembers your name, that automatically, I think that creates a connection, you know, whether there was one there or not, but it's like, okay, this person cares enough to remember my name, that's meaningful. Right. So that's huge. That's awesome.
It is. That I think the human element. And of course, if you're owning 10, 15, 20 stores, it's more difficult to do that.
Right.
But
for you personally, but you can train your employees to be doing that too. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was a gentleman that we both had an interaction with years ago. I'll say his name, rest in peace, Lex Williamson. He was in Birmingham, Alabama. Lex owned an agency, owned a financial agency. And any event that you would go to, and if he met you, the next time he saw you, he knew your name, your wife's name, and your kid's name.
Mm-hmm.
That's off of meeting you one time for 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was so great at that. He was so great at that. And people would run through a brick wall for him. They would do anything to protect him, whatever. But he spent so much time and energy focusing on people in that aspect. And it paid huge dividends. So I think it's mm-hmm. something that both of us
yes.
took and, mm-hmm. you know, added to our everyday lives. And that empathy, that, you know, just the interest in other people. We always talk about how when you meet people and you ask them about themselves, they'll spend 20 minutes talking to you about everything they got going on, but they end up viewing you as the expert mm-hmm. and you can't do anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know.
But the truth is, most people don't get to talk about themselves very much.
Yep.
So,
yeah, it does make a big difference. And it's pretty funny that you say that, you know, that people talk and then they think you are the expert. You know, I think that's so true and so right. But you know, it's like you mentioned empathy. I always say that I think empathy is a superpower. Like if you have empathy, then you have the ability to connect with people and to influence people. Hopefully in positive ways. Right. And I just think that, you know, if you can develop your sense of empathy towards other people in whatever area of your life, you know, whether that's at home with your spouse, with your kids, or in your business or your job or whatever it is, you know, I think it's only going to pay off dividends for you. And I think empathy kind of gets a bad rap, especially for guys. But I love that. I think that's great.
Great secret sauce.
Yes.
We got another section called Pro Tips.
Pro Tips.
And Pro Tips is more for the person maybe looking to buy their first laundromat. You got any tips for anybody trying to buy their first laundromat?
Oh, yes. You want to do that?
You know, buying the first laundromat, you know, I take the same approach as if you're, you know, if you're a real estate investor. Go see as many as possible when you're trying to figure it out. Just anytime you see a laundromat, just stop in, walk around, look at the equipment. You'll pick up odds and ends things every time you're in one, even if it's the same one as you were that you viewed the week before. Look at as many as possible. Review as many deals as you possibly can. I don't know about other states, but I know here in the state of Georgia, we have a few reps here that sell laundromats only. Even if you don't have the money, you don't have the resources yet, reach out to these brokers and you know, sign the NDA and get the packet for the laundromat set up for sale and just start looking through it. So you can just get familiar with what's out there and how it works and just understand the terminology and what you need to be looking for and engage in some conversations. And part two, I think Tanisha brought this up too, is find a mentor, find somebody that's doing it. Not somebody that owns a car lot or you know, owns office buildings. Find someone that owns, preferably owns multiple laundromats, and just, you know, if it's somebody you know well or somebody you can that will give you some time, just ask them as many questions as you can over time. Shoot them a quick text. Hey, how does this work? How does that work? And you know, I think we can oversimplify things. If you can't get them, there's always Google, you know.
Right.
But I think the more you do that, the less anxiety you'll have around the purchase process, because you'll just have more information and understanding. Yeah. I mean, I talked to plenty of strangers via the Facebook groups before we purchased one that gave me their time to give me insight on kind of what to look out for and how to value. And everybody's viewpoints were different, but they all ended up coming to, you know, to the same goal. So those would be the tips that I would share.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are great, great tips, checking out as many as possible and getting the packages, those kinds of things. And also getting a mentor. I mean, I think it's invaluable, right? Not only are you going to shortcut your learning curve, but, you know, people who've been in the business know the things that you can only know once you've been in the business, right? You can only learn so much until you've, you know, and I'm sure you guys have learned a ton that you didn't know. And it may even be something that somebody told you, you just couldn't understand it because you hadn't had that experience yet, right?
Yeah.
Having a mentor can be super, super valuable. Awesome pro tips.
Yes.
All right. We got another section called recommended resources. You guys have any resources you'd recommend to laundromat owners or potential laundromat owners to help them improve their business or maybe themselves personally?
You know, this is going to be very, very vague, but if you don't have a business background, just go do the cliche business for dummies book, so that you can understand the terminology around profit and loss statements, balance sheets, interest rates, lease agreements, contracts, just the basics of business. So that way, when you take on one, you're able to have, you're able to understand a lot of the conversations that are being had around that laundromat. I know that's not super fancy, but that's a really good development, resource to use if you've never done this, anything like this before.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's ever said that before on the podcast, but I think that's probably one of the best recommended resources that
has been given on here, other than the people who said, you know, my stuff, obviously. But in all honesty, I mean, like, the, you know, getting the business basics, it's going to get you a long way, because when I got in the business, I didn't know anything about business at all, let alone laundromat business. Right. And it was a long, hard learning curve to do that. And if I would have kind of built that foundation ahead of time, it would have saved me a lot of time, effort, money, all that. Yeah. So I think that's great. Great recommended resource.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'll say this too. This is, I'm backtracking a little bit to a pro tip. The other pro tip is, you hear the cliche all the time, begin with the end in mind. When you're taking over, this could go for any business, but in a laundromat, success, what we're talking about today, think about what you want it to look like at the end and start building it that way from the beginning. And what I mean by that, don't approach it from the standpoint of, I'll buy this right now and this will get me over until I get ready to have, you know, to entertain taking on a larger capacity wash load. Instead, think about, all right, ultimately, I want to be able to have people come in here and wash in a 100-pound dryer. So if you know that's your ultimate goal, lay your story out mentally in your mind of how you're going to do it around a 100-pound washer. And that will dictate all your decisions of purchasing other washers and dryers along the way. So if you put the infrastructure in place up front, it makes it so much easier once you get rocking and rolling to make adjustments. Because to go back and tear your infrastructure down, and not tear it down, but to go back and do the basics once you get started, it's just really, really hard. You know, I know the fire department said put two fire extinguishers in here, but I think I can skate it without doing that. Well, don't do it. Just go ahead and put the fire extinguishers in place now. They're probably not going to ever get used, but go ahead and put it in place now so that if something comes about and someone says, hey, I could come in and enhance your entire store, but I need to do an analysis of your store. Oh, you don't have fire extinguishers, so I can't do anything to help you out. Oh, man, we got to get fire extinguishers. And we got another scenario where you go to Costco and can't find a fire extinguisher anymore because, you know, we got manufacturing backlogs. I'm going down a rabbit hole, but put your infrastructure in place first and build on top of it.
Yeah, I think it's a great pro tip because, I mean, so even just today, like right before we jumped on this call, I was out at a laundromat location that looking to pick up with Diligent Capital Investments, which is a syndication group that we go out and buy laundromats and real estate. And the store that we're looking at picking up is a disaster. it's a huge mess, right? The layout's horrible. The way that the machines are in there is terrible. I mean, it's just bad, right? So what we were doing today is basically kind of breaking it down. What can we keep? What do we need to change? And what is the end of what we want this place to look like, and start there so that whether we do it right up front, which we'll probably do it right up front for us this time, or if we're going to do it later, while we're making plans about it, we know where we're trying to go, right? Yeah. We know what we're trying to do. And I think that's great, great advice, because that's the way to run a successful business. Right. You don't, you know, I'm kind of naturally a, you know, shoot from the hip kind of guy, just in general in life. But school of hard knocks after my first laundromat disaster, you know, kind of learned that, you know what, you need to have a plan going in, not just of what you want it to look like, but it's also worth thinking about how you want to exit, even if you don't want to exit for 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Right. And I tell my coaching clients all the time, like, hey, start keeping good books up front, because that is going to make your laundromat more valuable down the line. If people can get financing for your laundromat, it's going to make it more valuable. So if you decide 5, 10, 20 years down the line, you want to sell it and you have good books, then it's just going to be worth a lot more. So
it's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah. So beginning with the end in mind, I think that's great. Is that from Seven Habits of Highly Effective People? I think.
Got it.
Yeah. I love that one. Awesome. I mean, guys, this has been really, really incredible. I mean, obviously it's been really good, hearing your story and hearing how you got into the business and how it's been going since, some of the struggles you guys have had, some of the successes you guys have had, and you've been a lot of fun to talk with also. But I mean, you guys came with like a lot of really good, just super practical tips and wisdom. And, so man, I really appreciate you guys taking the time. I know we've been kind of bantering about doing this for a little while here. And, so I appreciate you guys, you know, carving the time out and doing exactly, I mean, what your one of your pro tips was, you know, find a mentor, somebody who's been in the business, who's ahead of where you're at now, maybe, or who just has a different experience than you, and get some wisdom from them. And that's kind of what you guys are doing here on the podcast. So really, really appreciate that. Last question that I have for you, which you now have to answer based on your pro tip, but it's, if somebody wants to contact you guys, get a hold of you, maybe ask you some questions, or maybe just thank you for sharing your story, what's the best way they can get a hold of you?
Okay. Our website is www.missbubbles.biz, B-I-Z. And our phone number is 770-755-7131. And our email is info@missbubbles.biz, B-I-Z.
Are you Miss Bubbles?
I am.
Do people call you that?
No.
Yeah, they do. Yes, no. They do. And that's the way she answers the phone too. Miss Bubbles. They're like, oh, you're Miss Bubbles.
It's half and half.
Yeah.
Half and half. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I feel like I have to call you Miss Bubbles from now on.
All right.
My main question though is, why is it Miss Bubbles and not Mrs. Bubbles? That's
you know what? It's really my daughter. When she was younger, she would always make these bubbles when she was younger. Uh-huh. And I really named it after her just because she fit the name Miss Bubbles.
Yeah.
When she was younger, what she would do that, when she was.
That was a kid that was my son's friend. He started calling our daughter Mrs. Bubbles. It was from some cartoon or something. Mrs. Bubbles.
Yeah.
Figure out how to make that sound that way on the sign.
Yeah.
Other than put Mrs. But yeah. I guess we could have put Mrs., you know, M-I-S-S-E-S, but
yeah. It's so much easier.
But
no, Miss Bubbles, it's got a good ring to it. I was just wondering if Mac needed to be worried over here that you're single. I don't know.
Oh, we have another. You can reach us on Facebook at PTF Strategies. We're trying to get that changed to Miss Bubbles, but we haven't had any luck yet. We have to do something different.
Man, Facebook is tough to work with. Man.
I know. They're not user friendly at all.
I still do not have, my account got hacked. Laundromat Resource got hacked. I got removed as an admin. It's
what?
My information. This was like months ago. This was like last October. And I do not have access to the Laundromat Resource Facebook page.
Oh my God.
My personal phone number is on there. My email address is on there. The website's on there. It's connected to the Instagram account that I do have access to. And I still cannot get them to give me access back or to shut it down. so I can start it over. But it's
Matrix. Well,
yeah, good luck to you guys changing it. Hopefully you have better luck than I've been having.
Yeah.
But guys, this has been awesome. Thank you again for taking the time to just come on here and share your story and share your lessons that you've learned. I know it's going to help a lot of people out, and people are going to get a lot out of it. So I appreciate you guys and looking forward to hearing the update as you build your empire over there in Georgia. Starting with your one and making your way at least to seven, at least probably. I think it's like a tattoo. Like once you start getting them, it's like hard to stop.
You know? Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
All right. That was such a fun episode for me. They are so, so cool. Definitely people that I want to stay in touch with. So Tanisha and Mac, thank you for jumping on the podcast. Super good to meet you guys. Hope you guys got a lot of value out of that interview. I know that I did, like I do with every single one, but I say this all the time, but just listen to the podcast, just learning, just using the resources. I mean, none of that stuff is going to help you achieve your goal unless you put it into action. So I try to encourage you every single week, pick one thing and put it into action. If you're having trouble actually doing that, maybe head over to the forums, laudermountresource.com/forum, and right in there, create a post to say what action you're going to take to hold yourself accountable. So other people see that, other people know what you're doing over there and can ask you if you actually follow through on it. For me personally, one of the things that, I mean, there was a lot in this one, but one of the things that, you know, that piqued my attention, I don't know, like got me thinking a little bit was in the, I think it was a recommended resources. They recommended Business for Dummies. And I was like, you know what? I haven't really read like a book on the basics of business. I've read a lot of business books. And in fact, I'm kind of a voracious reader / book listener also when I'm in the car and stuff. And if you're interested in some business books or personal development books, you can check out my recommended reading list at laudermountresource.com/read and go check out the books that I have over there. There's some super, super good books over there. So check that out. But anyways, I was like, you know what? I've never read Business for Dummies, and it'd probably be good for me to read like a book on business basics, maybe like a refresher. And I'm sure I'll learn some new stuff too. So that is my action step for this week. And like I said, every week, if we're taking action, watch how far we're going to go. It doesn't have to be big stuff every single week. Pick something small and do it. The point is that we're continually taking action. We're building the habit of taking action because action is what leads us to our success. All right, guys, this has been cool. Thanks for hanging out with me and Tanisha and Mac. We will see you again next week on the Laundromat Resource Podcast. Peace.